Good morning, everyone. Pastor David here on the 30th of May, the last Sunday in May. And our theme today from the very final message in John's Gospel, the last few verses, is life and death. So welcome everyone, and with thanks to Peter Livett once again for finding that song for me when I was struggling. Thank you, Peter. So here we are, our very final message in the Gospel of John. It's been a long journey. It's been well over 2 years and over 80 messages, and we've come to the closing verses. So let me read to you verses 18 and 19. "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." It does really seem a very strange way to begin Peter's new role. Jesus had just reinstated Peter and given him this vital new role. And this seems a strange way to begin that role, by bringing up Peter's cruel death as a martyr for Christ. I wonder why Jesus raises this with Peter at this point. Well, I think one reason is that in the joy and delight Peter was experiencing of forgiveness and being given a new vital role in serving Jesus, Peter is reminded that this is a most serious matter. Oh yes, celebrate and be glad. It's good to do that, but never, ever forget the cost. And we need this lesson too. Thank God there is joy in belonging to and in serving Jesus, but it's not a light thing. Christians have so much against them. The Bible tells us about all that is against the Christian. It says that the world, the unbelieving world, is against us. It's filled with hostility against the Christian and Christ. And once again, to mention Peter Livett, he sent to me a few weeks ago a copy of an item from the media that described the way that two pastors in our country had been arrested that week by the police for simply preaching and reading from the Bible in the open air. Arrested! Taken down into the station and kept there. The unbelieving world is against the Christian. And then there's the flesh, the Bible says, our self-life, our fallen nature that seeks always to drag us away from following God. And then the greatest threat of all, the devil, who is behind all the opposition, the devil and all his demons against us. It's definitely not a light thing to follow Jesus, to be a Christian. But there's something else in this, and these closing verses from Jesus to Peter. For Jesus speaks about Peter's death as a martyr. He's going to, on his final day, he will be martyred, killed for who he is and what he's doing. What assurance for Peter as he steps out from this utter failure of denial to be told by Jesus, "You have a vital role and you'll do it for me and you'll still be doing it right at the end." Peter will be kept by the grace of God to his final day on earth. And that assurance for Christians who follow Jesus and commit to serving him is ours today. Follow him, give your life to him, and his promise to you is that he'll hold you fast. It's wonderful. It's a great reminder to Peter and us that serving Jesus, following him, will put you in the position where most people will be against you. Peter, Jesus says, they will be hostile to your message. They will oppose your every move. They'll cause you trouble. And finally, they will kill you. And this message from Jesus is not the message you hear from those false teachers, the faith teachers, as they so-called themselves. They would have told Peter Oh, if you have faith, you'll get your best life here on earth. But no, says Jesus, follow me, serve me, preach for me, witness for me, and you will have trouble, you will have pain and even martyrdom. But Peter, be faithful, and your paradise life with me forever is yours. So live for me, lift your eyes beyond this world, beyond this life. Because, Peter, life is short and the day of your death approaches. Prepare yourself. And that message comes to us. Prepare yourself. Live your remaining days with the one big goal of pleasing the Lord. Peter was executed by the order of a crazy Roman Emperor Nero some 34 years later, still preaching, still ministering for his Lord. And we all die. But what a way to die, still serving Jesus. Probably none of us will be martyred. And I say, having said that, who knows? Who could have ever predicted that our churches would be closed and we couldn't go to them? Who knows? But to come to our last day still serving, still believing, still praying, and then to enter your heavenly home, and Jesus is there to welcome you, looks you in the eye, and says, welcome. Welcome, my good and faithful servant. How foolish to live for this world. But having said all of that, the question comes, we know how weak we are and we wonder if we can keep on till our last day. Jesus promises that he will keep you if you give and surrender your life to him. Let me just read to you that. Verse 19 again, Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, and then he said to him, follow me. I suppose the question is, as I read that to you, how does the martyrdom of Peter, the ending, the wiping out of his service, the wiping out of his ministry, how does that glorify God? Well, like the death of any Christian, the glory is that you die as a Christian, kept to the very end. Many people, when they realise they're dying, they change their view on life. I've read and heard a number of people who, during this pandemic, have had a complete change of view and their view of life, but not the Christian. Right to the end, in illness, in weakness, the Christian is still trusting, still believing, still praying, still witnessing. One day before Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous preacher in this country in the 50s and 60s, one day before he died, the actual day before he died, one of his closest friends visited him. And when he saw him, he said, Martin, it grieves me to see you, so weary, worn and sad. And with one immense effort, having not spoken for days, his friend heard Martin Lloyd-Jones whisper, not sad, weary, of course, worn out, of course, but not sad. The death of a Christian glorifies God, and glorifies God by leaving a strong Christian legacy. You see, we know from the story of Job that Satan believes all Christians are phonies. Satan believes that they only follow God because of what they can get out of it. And so what glory it brings to God for the Christian to end this life believing trusting, holding on to God. Satan trembles to see a Christian die like that. And now to close, verse 20. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" Peter now asks about John's future. Having just been told how he will die, Peter, who is always very close to John, they're always together, he wants to know if John will be martyred too. But Jesus brings Peter the truth that Peter has an individual call and task. You follow me. Don't be looking around at others all the time. You concentrate and make sure that you are following me. Now, we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we work and we serve together and we need one another, but we are individually accountable to God. On that last day when we stand before Jesus, it will be your life he sees. It will be your every action, your every word and your priorities. The call is clear from Jesus. You follow me. And so now to the very final verses. Verse 24. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. There's a change here, if you notice, right at the end, verse 24. We know. We. Someone else. Not John is speaking. Who is it? Well, we can't be sure about this, but most probably John was at the church in Ephesus, where he spent many years, when he wrote this gospel. So it may be that the we here are his leadership colleagues in the church there. They say, "We know the Apostle John. We know him. We spend almost every day with him. We know his strong faith and his witness to Jesus as he's ministered here over the years. We know his holiness." And so they say, "We know his testimony is true." And of course, we know it's true too, because the Holy Spirit has inspired John to write the truth. I'm going to read to you the very final verse. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is another example of the importance of watching carefully biblical context. Is this literal truth that the whole world would be full of books? There'd be no room for anything else if it was recorded. And you know, so many good Christians get into all kinds of trouble by ignoring the context and reading things literally when the text makes it clear that it's poetry or it's picture language. And you've heard me say so many times that the book of Revelation is a supreme example where so clearly the Holy Spirit in the opening verses, it begins by telling the reader that everything that follows is written in picture language. But despite that very clear statement, many Christians ignore it and they try to literalise the beasts and the dragons and the blood in the sky and the temples. How they get into awful problems. And here at the end of John's Gospel, the context shows us not to take this literally. For example, just a few words before, Jesus has said to Peter, "Follow me." But Jesus is about to ascend to heaven. So it's not a literal following. It's follow me by your obedience, by giving me your life. It's your life commitment. And so this book thing that ends the gospel is a picture showing that Jesus' life was full to overflowing with grace and goodness. What a way to end. What a way to ask our Lord to give us the desire to follow Jesus right to the end, having lives that are filled with his grace and his goodness. Amen. So, as I say that, and I wonder, and you perhaps wonder with me whether I'll ever be able to hold out to the end. I'm so weak and so feeble. Promise from Jesus is that he will hold me fast.
He will hold me fast. Christ will hold me fast. Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast.